Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today, I'm joined by Isaac Robinson, who recently set the unsupported FKT for the 220-plus-mile-long Ouachita Trail. Tune in and hear all about his experiences with wildlife, rocks, hallucinations, and more on this lesser-known route through the oldest national forest in the Southeast. Hi, Isaac. Thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about your FKT on the Ouachita Trail.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, the Ouachita Trail is not a super well-known trail outside of the region. And so I was wondering if you could start off by letting our audience know where this trail is and describe it for us. Just the general character of the trail.
Yeah. So it's it runs from eastern Oklahoma all the way over to Little Rock, Arkansas. And it's a 223 mile. I think the original FKT is a little bit shorter than that, maybe 5 miles shorter than that, 217, something like that. But it's a, national park throughout. There passes through a few wilderness areas, mostly deciduous forests on this ridgeline. It's almost a ridgeline the entire way that runs east-west. It's actually really similar to Appalachian forests in that there's a lot of hardwoods, really rocky track, a lot of crystal in the area, quartz crystal. So just interesting geology, interesting flora and fauna out there too as well.
You mentioned the geology, and I think a few years ago I had been researching the Ouachita, and if I remember right, the Ouachita range is distinct from the Appalachian range, right?
Yes, it is.
And
yeah,
it's like older, I think.
I'm not completely certain. Might very well be, but I'm not completely certain. It runs east and west, like I said, and it's central Arkansas. I'm in North Texas in Dallas, so it's the best spot for us to go within 4 hours, 4.5 hours driving to really get into some beautiful natural national forest and where there's actually some nice running water and really good quality water and everything. So it's a nice spot.
How much of the trail is in Oklahoma versus Arkansas?
Only 50 miles is in Oklahoma.
Okay. So the vast majority is in Arkansas.
Exactly. Yeah. It starts there. It's the rockiest part in Oklahoma, actually, the driest and rockiest part. And it starts off quite rugged and then gets over into Arkansas and kind of transitions from this nice deciduous forest into a pinier forest and a little bit easier walking.
Okay. So is it less rocky then as you go east?
Yeah. Well, it kind of varies, but yes, it is. And as you get towards the terminus on the east side, it actually flattens out and drops down into a low area and some lakes along there. So you get the heaviest part of it behind you before you get to the very end of it.
Yeah. So it sounds relatively varied. You have a decent amount of variety on it.
Yeah. The combination of oak and hickory forests, kind of dwarf trees almost, because they're growing on these rocky outcroppings in Oklahoma and western Arkansas, and turns into some really beautiful piney forests. And when I hit it, going in the early spring, you get into really nice dogwood and redbud blooms, and forest is really starting to come alive, but you still have a lot of sunlight coming through without the trees being all leafed out. It's nice.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. Did you end April 1st or did you start April 1st?
Finished April 1st.
Yeah, it was March, the end of March. Okay.
March 28th through April 1st.
Okay. Yeah. So is that, would you say that's the prime season to hike in this region?
I think so. Either that or fall. I mean, you've got a little bit more access to water in the spring and you want to get out there before the ticks come out.
Right.
Because the ticks are really bad. And
that's what I would think. Ticks and chiggers. I mean, I don't know, maybe
yes.
It's cold there for chiggers, but
No,
they're definitely chiggers.
They're abundant. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would think is not a summer hiking destination. This is
right. Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on with that. Yeah. A lot of snakes, a lot of chiggers and ticks. So it gets a little rugged in the summer.
I bet. And actually mentioning snakes, I was scrolling through your Instagram and do you have a picture of a cottonmouth?
Yeah, sure do. Right
oh,
at the
wow.
end of the trail. Yeah, right at the end of the trail. Came across that little one while I was going across one of the last creeks.
Oh, wow.
And
it was a pretty good size.
Yeah.
Like it was not a small one.
I chose a different route to get around it.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Exactly. Did you see any other venomous snakes or was that the only one?
Not on this trip. Yeah, I've seen a bunch up there. I've actually done the trail one other time all the way through, and then attempted to set an FKT back in 2018.
Right.
It didn't have one. It didn't have one at that time. And so I had gone out and tried to do just a soft and ended up dealing with some high ankle sprains and some really pretty good foot issues from the rugged terrain and a lot of water. Ran into a couple of rainstorms. And so, but I made it through one other time with a lot of foot issues too. But it's a particularly rugged trail. There's a lot of rock hidden under leaf litter. Mm-hmm. It's well marked, but it's not that well trodden.
Yeah, I saw that this was actually your first FKT on the website, but that you had attempted this before. You mentioned there wasn't an FKT before for unsupported. What made you want to come back? Because now there is an unsupported record, which you beat. So what drove you to come back? Was it just an unfinished business sort of thing? Or
it really was. Yeah, just I figured I could do it. I figured I could make the mileage and the time, but it was just one of those things where I really wanted to get back out and give it another shot. And last November, I started talking with my partner about it, and I was like, I think I want to give it another shot. I had come off of doing the PCT in 2017, and 2018 was the first attempt, and I just let the body get softer than it should have probably before hitting that first one. But then, yeah, just November to March, I got it together and set a goal and got after it.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, you did a great job out there.
Thank you.
And so when I was looking at the history of this, as you mentioned, it's not a well-trodden trail. It's not super popular in general. But also, there's very few successful FKTs on the trail. But when I was scrolling through the discussion page, there are a lot of attempts. Or there have been. So do you think it's foot issues? You've obviously mentioned foot issues a couple times now. Why do you think that a lot of people go out there and attempt it and aren't successful?
I think it is. It's a rockier trail. I've hiked a lot in Washington State. I've hiked a lot doing the PCT and then just various areas. It's got these pool ball size rocks that are just scattered everywhere, hidden underneath leaves. And I think that that really gives people more issues than they would expect. There's a good bit of elevation gain over the course of the 200 miles, but there's nothing too intense about it. But at the same time, it ends up being a little bit more rugged trail than I think people expect.
Yeah, I was wondering about the elevation because you mentioned that it's a ridge line. So I wondered how much up and down there really is. But it sounds like there's a decent amount.
Yeah, I was trying to look back at my numbers. I think it was something in the order of like 36,000 feet over the course of it. So it's respectable, but it's nothing high elevation. It's just a lot of up and downs along the ridge line. It's broken up over the course of going across creeks and rivers along the way.
Mm-hmm. Have you hiked in Pennsylvania on the Appalachian Trail?
I have not, no.
What you're describing just sounds a lot like that to me, where it's like you're on ridge lines, but they can be very rocky, and then you dip down into drainages and then climb back up onto the ridge line. And
yeah.
So it sounds very similar to that. So circling back around to the snakes, what other wildlife did you see out there?
Oh, this was cool. Because I mean, I only saw, I think, 7 people over the course of the whole trail.
Wow.
So in 200 miles in four and a quarter days, 5 or so, I think 5 were through hiking and 2 were just out on a day hike. I saw so many deer, just white-tailed deer out there, more deer than people for sure. And then I followed a skunk one night for about a quarter mile on the trail.
Probably not the best idea.
She wouldn't get out of the way. I was talking to her the whole time, like, just get off the side of the trail. I'll be gone in a minute.
Right.
But this tail just bouncing around all over the place. I saw whippoorwills, the birds that sing overnight. Basically, they're the bane of the existence of a lot of campers because they sing so much.
And they're very loud.
Yeah,
but quite a very loud. Small bird. I've seen pictures, but I haven't actually seen the physical bird, but I know they're not very big.
They're not big, but I came across them sleeping on the ground.
Right.
And just with my headlamp lit up their eyes, and I was like, what the heck is that? And looked down and the bird's just like nesting on the ground and, overnight.
Really red eyes when they reflect.
Yes. Okay. Yes, they do.
So I ran into this bird on the Arizona Trail, hiking at night. And I was calling them demon bat birds because they have these super red reflective eyes and they would just sit there until you got right up to them and then they'd fly up at you. and then go 10 feet down the trail and sit down and do it again and again and again.
Huh. And that sounds very familiar. That sounds very similar.
Okay. Cause I asked somebody what they were and they were like, they're nighthawks. And I was like, okay, I wonder if they are a form of whippoorwill. Like, they weren't making any noise. So I'm sure if they had been singing, I would have known what they were. So maybe that's right. What they were. Maybe that's just like Arizona's version of the
very well could be. And I think that they just pass through as a migratory bird and just they don't have time to build a nest, so they just nest on the ground, which was interesting.
Yeah.
And I ended up seeing a deer sleeping on the ground.
Oh wow.
That did not get up and move. I walked by and it was probably only 50 feet off the trail. And it was a doe just by herself. And I turned and looked with my headlamp and then realized immediately it was a deer. And she just laid there. I turned my head away real quickly just not to disturb her. And she just stayed there the whole time and just continued just sleeping. Yeah, exactly. She noticed me because I saw her eyes reflecting back. But yeah, she just didn't pay me much attention. So it was great.
Did you see, I assume there's bears along this trail. Did you see any bears?
I've seen one out there before, but no, not this time. They're few and far between, and there's a lot of hunting in Arkansas. So I think most of the wildlife tries to stay away from humans. I know there's some cats out there. There's bobcats. They say there's some, people have some pictures of some mountain lions out in that area, even though they're reportedly not there, but there's some animals out there that just really try to make themselves scarce. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see them often.
So the one animal that I've been told by other hikers has frequent sightings on the Ouachita is Bigfoot. Did you see Bigfoot out there?
On night three.
You were seeing all kinds of things by then, I imagine.
Night three, I could have seen Bigfoot perhaps, or maybe heard him. But no sightings. No sightings.
I have a couple of friends who've hiked the trail, and they've told me that in the registers, people are always like, I saw Bigfoot. It's apparently a very big thing in the Ouachitas. So.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Eastern Oklahoma and Western Arkansas, they've got a big Bigfoot following out there.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. So you mentioned you might have seen Bigfoot on the third night because I'm assuming at that point sleep deprivation was catching up to you. Yeah. What was your strategy like out there?
I was going for about 4 hours per night. I did about that the first night. The second night I overslept. I slept about 5 hours and just woke up frantic, like, oh my God, just got moving immediately, of course. And then fourth night, I slept 45 minutes.
Wow.
And that was right at the middle of a 90-mile push. So it was a long time without sleep. But yeah, it averaged out to something like three and a quarter hours per night. Mm-hmm. So it was challenging.
Yeah, that's not a lot of sleep. So obviously that means you must have been hiking a lot of hours a day and also since this was in March, a pretty significant amount in the dark, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 5 to 6 hours in the dark per day. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I walked with a headlamp and then just took a headlamp and strapped it onto a waist belt and wore one on the waist too.
Right.
So I just ran them fairly dim most of the time, just conserving, but that seemed to be a good strategy for trying to see as much of the rocks and stuff along the way.
So. Yeah, especially if you got rocks. Yeah, because I've learned that if you just have one on your head, then your depth perception is really off.
So oh, yeah.
It's nice to have one on the waist that really lights up where you're putting your feet.
It helps a whole lot. Yeah.
So with that minimal amount of sleep, what was your quote unquote camping gear? Did you have a tent and a sleeping bag? Were you just dirt napping in a bivy? What did you bring for your sleeping hours?
It was dirt naps. And sometimes just right on the bed of the trail. I found a couple of nice spots, a couple of ridgeline spots that I just shared one with a little cottontail rabbit one night. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just basically throw down a polycrow cloth sheet and just crash out and just a little bivy. I brought a tarp with me just in case I ran into rain, but it ended up being mostly pretty clear weather.
And
that turned out great.
I was going to ask what the weather was like.
I mean, I lucked out and got a good window. It ended up being cooler than it probably would have been. So highs in the low 70s when I started, which is pretty good for here.
Yeah.
And then we had a a series of pretty heavy thunderstorms like a week before, which helped recharge all the ground seeps and the creeks and stuff. So that made water a lot easier. So I felt like I lucked out. I timed it to where I was hitting a full moon to nice. Try to get a little bit of that benefit too. And there ended up being some fog on top of a ridgeline one day, which just added to the aesthetic of it.
Right.
Made it a little extra cool. But other than that, saw no bad weather at all.
Was it humid at all? Or is the humidity not really in yet at that time of year?
Not too bad. Yeah, it wasn't terrible yet. It gets awful in the summer, though.
Yeah, I imagine in the summer it'd just be unbearable. So you mentioned the rain that came shortly before you were out there recharging the ground seeps. Is water a challenge on this trail? Is it normally a fairly dry trail?
There are some sections. The west is certainly the most dry, and it gets a little bit hard to find water out there. There's a couple of stretches where I think if you're in a dry season, it could be close to a 20-mile carry or so.
Okay.
So it's not overwhelming, but there's a little bit of a situation I got.
Yeah, something you have to pay attention to and plan for.
Exactly.
You don't want to end up in the middle of that 20 miles ready to camp with no water.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What kind of water capacity did you have with you on this hike?
Yeah, I think I only carried about 3 liters capacity, but typically only carried about a liter and a half or so with me as I walked. So really, I wasn't too concerned about it throughout most of the trail.
Well, and you're doing the type of mileage each day where
you're going to hit
a lot of water sources.
Exactly.
So we've talked a little bit about your camping gear and your water capacity, but what else was in your kit? You're going unsupported, so every ounce matters. What other gear were you carrying aside from food?
I mean, it's just really pretty bare bones. Just a light quilt, a hoodie, a micro fleece kind of hoodie, micro grid. Mm-hmm. Since I wasn't dealing with much cold, I always have the jacket, but that's about it. Rain gear, light battery backup. Yeah, just keeping it simple.
Do you know how much your base weight was?
I don't know for certain. I think I was at about 11 pounds.
Okay. Is that kind of normal for you, or was that a pretty pared down?
That's fairly normal. I mean, it's a little bit lighter because I'm not carrying a real tent, not expecting to sleep much.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, not carrying an actual camera or anything to extra documentation or just fun stuff. So that's pretty standard.
Were you pretty happy with your choices? Was there anything you would have done differently gear-wise?
I don't think so. It all worked well.
What about switching gears over to your food? That's, I feel like, the big thing when you do unsupported, because you can't acquire more food along the way. So you have what you have.
Right.
What did you bring to eat? And did you bring enough? Not enough? Too much? How did that play out?
I always seem to bring more than I need. I just always end up regretting, oh my gosh, it's extra weight of food. But no, it worked out well. Mostly a lot of the gels and bars and that sort of thing. Had a bunch of awesome sauce and just the standard stuff, but had a lot of just the dried fruit and nuts and string cheese and the usual suspects there that way. Cold soaked a little bit of ramen for a couple of walking dinners. That's about it.
So pretty standard hiking food.
Yeah, for the most part. Ended up with way more than I wanted, more than I could get down.
Yeah. But I have the opposite. I seem to always run out of food.
I think I've got the better version of that problem.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, it's why did I bring this much?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the leaves being an issue, obscuring the rocks. Are there other route challenges? Is it overgrown in some sections? Is it difficult to navigate? Are there challenges like that?
For the most part, no. It's really well marked. The Friends of the Ouachita Trail, Foot is the organization that does a lot of maintenance out there. They've got like Appalachian style three-sided shelters throughout. Oh. Which I ended up spending my 45 minutes of sleep on the fourth night in one of those that just happened to be just right off of where I was ready to lay down before I started going into full delirium. But the one tough part, I guess, was hitting a wilderness area, which is a lot less well marked during the night on that fourth night. And so that was the marking becomes a lot more sparse. It's just tree blazes on the trees but it becomes a lot more sparse. And because it's a wilderness area, it's old growth forest in that particular area, there's not a whole lot of undergrowth. So the trail kind of disappears on you with leaf litter and everything. It disappears. So it was a little challenging with the sleep deprivation and then going into a lot of creeks at that particular area as well. So I found myself going down a couple of wrong trails, like two or three times, but luckily it was less than an eighth of a mile or so before I realized it and made a quick adjustment.
Right. Yeah. I wondered, cause I mean, I feel like that is a big challenge. A lot of times when you're hiking on something during the day, you're like, oh yeah, this trail is great, easy to follow, but it can be very different when you're hiking at night.
Absolutely.
You know, something that seems very clear during the day all of a sudden just disappears in the dark. So I was wondering whether that was an issue for you.
Yeah, those sections were the only part. And add to that, the tracers coming off of things with the lights. Just as I started a little bit of visual hallucination there, it was interesting. But yeah, for the most part, stayed on trail pretty well.
Did you have any injuries or major gear failures or calamities while you were out there?
Got it. Be thankful again. No, it all went really well. For the most part, everything worked fine. Water filter was a little slow going for a little bit, but you know, the seeps were, I didn't mind drinking from them straight, and a couple of springs along the way. There's actually a lot of springs on the course of the trail, but the feet gave me issues again this time.
Right.
And by the end, they were pretty terrible. I mean, the blisters were pretty serious, and I had done a lot of training leading up to it. I'd run an ultra, 52-mile ultra prior to it just to get my feet warmed up for it in February, but it didn't stop the blisters.
How did you mitigate that, or did you just grit it out and hike through?
Oh, just cut and go.
Yeah.
I mean, just get in and work on them real quickly and suffer through the 30 minutes or 45 minutes of them just burning. And then,
yeah.
And then you kind of get a little relief and keep going.
Wow. But
yeah, mornings are easier because they weren't as inflamed, but midday was always rough.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like foot injuries are the hardest to deal with when you're doing an ultra or an FKT or like a long hike, because they just hit the ground constantly. You can't hike when your feet are in pain. All of you have to pay attention to that. You can have a hurt arm or shoulder or back, and you can kind of just forget about that to some extent, but your feet, when they hurt,
that's
all you can think about.
I tried, once in a while when it got to be almost too much, that was like the necessary stops to, if it was a water stop, go ahead and get water and then just soak them for a while. Mm-hmm. Get 10 minutes or so, kind of numbed them out a little bit in the pretty chilly creeks and then just keep moving. But yeah, it was to be expected. Yeah, exactly. Yep. breathe through it.
Yep. So I like to wrap up with the highest high and lowest low.
Oh my gosh. I'll start with the lowest low.
That's often easiest to isolate.
Yeah. Right towards the end. I mean, within the last 26 miles of the trail, walking through the lowland area that was this water drainage along Lake Maumelle in Arkansas, I ended up doing 5 extra miles on top of the original FKT mileage that they had remarked and incorporated this new section. And it was just sort of monotonous going up and down these ridge lines and just repeating itself over and over and not really making up new ground. And so that just felt like it was taking forever. And my feet were, of course, hurting the worst at that point that they would have been. I was ready to be done. The highest high that's hard to say. I mean, it would probably be at the highest state of delirium. I describe this as like from the movie The Big Fish, the Ewan McGregor movie, where he's listening to all the tales that his dad told and was just in disbelief of it, thought he was lying about it. But I crossed a creek called Crystal Prong in the middle of the night, probably 1 a.m. And as I'm crossing this creek, It's a challenging crossing over this kind of natural dammed up rock area. And I see the biggest cloud of lightning bugs that I think I've ever seen over this large pool of water where it's naturally dammed and probably 30 or 40 feet wide and 150 feet long. And just a cloud. And I thought to myself, am I really seeing this? I was sure I was hallucinating it. And then one landed on my pack as I was filling up my water. And I was just like, oh, it's real. It's real. They're really there. didn't even bother trying to get a picture of it, but it was pretty amazing, that one moment. So
that sounds really cool. And definitely like something where you'd be questioning reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just like, well, I don't care if this is real. I'm just going to enjoy it.
I was certainly at that point by then.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking Ouachita with us. Is there anything I didn't ask or that you would like to share or advice for other people thinking about hiking this trail?
I got to give a shout to Lori at Bluebell Store. It's in Story, Arkansas. She's probably the quintessential trail angel of the trail. And okay. She gave me the ride across the state, basically a 200-mile ride. I parked my truck at the very end of the trail and she drove me all the way across the state.
Wow.
And it's right at the middle. It's about 110 miles in. She's just a good person, knows the trail really well and works her butt off to keep hikers taken care of out there. Does that in addition to running a store and a cafe. So that's pretty cool. But other than that, it's just a great trail. And don't everybody crowd in because it's really nice in the solitude.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks again, Isaac, for coming on the show. You can read about his FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow his adventures on Instagram at irobtrekker.